chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 5. Am I on here, Dan? Okay, I'm technologically challenged, so I just had to make sure. So are you. I know, we both are, but between the two of us, we might come up with a half a brain, so we'll get there, all right? Okay, Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even under the tower of Mia. They sanctified it under the tower of Hananeel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachar, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaniah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the bars thereof, the locks thereof, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Koaz. Next unto them repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabeel. Next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Baana. And next unto them the Tekoites repaired. But their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. Let's pray. Father, I love you this morning. I ask you now to bless the message. I pray that you would help me, God, to pull out of this passage what it is you have for us this morning. And I pray you'd help us, God, to get the right perspective of ourselves, of our lives, of the work that we have to do for you. Pray that you take us on a walk around this city, God, help us to see the gates that may need to be rebuilt in our lives. And that you do a work here this morning in our hearts. Give your people, Father, please give your people what they need today. Make me an able minister of Jesus Christ, a vessel, a channel through which you can flow to help somebody out this morning. We pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Everything in life I've figured out. Everything in life needs repairing sooner or later. When it comes to the things of this world, when it comes to your house, your cars, your health, your family, everything, it wears down. I learned this the hard way in my last house. It was like, we had a bunch of little kids running around. When we bought the house, I think we had three kids, I think we had three kids or two kids, and we had just had the third, that's right. And then we had a fourth kid while we were in the house, and I got a little discouraged with trying to keep up. You know what I'm saying? I love children. They're wonderful. They're a blessing, especially when they grow up and stop destroying everything. You know what I mean? You'd fix the drawer, and then they'd break the cabinet. And you'd fix the cabinet, and they'd decide to color on the wall. And you'd paint the wall, and they'd decide to put a hammer through the window. You know what I mean? I remember one of my kids, recorded themselves on an iPad, and she said, Mom, it was Sophia, she said, Mom, Lillian's throwing rocks at the window. And, saved it. And then Lillian got on and she recorded herself and she said, they weren't really rocks, they were more like pebbles. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I got frustrated with it. And the bathroom sink didn't work for a few months. Just leave the bathroom and wash your hands at the kitchen. Don't forget in process, you know what I mean? And that stupid drawer stayed broke for a long time. And that wall didn't get painted, and that spot didn't get patched. And my wife grew tremendously spiritually in patience, love, charity, long-suffering, goodness, and all the other things she needed to grow in to be married to an idiot like me that wouldn't do my job regularly to keep things like they needed to be. And I learned the hard way that since I had put things off for so long, when it came time to sell the house, because honestly, the girls had gotten to a point where I was sick of trying to survive navigating curling iron cords and blow dryer cords and laundry and everything else. If you weren't going to die from tripping over a curling iron cord and break your face on the ground, you're going to choke to death from hairspray because there's only one bathroom. You understand what I'm saying? It was truly a need. It had gotten to a point where this is not American. This is a need. I'm kidding. It really is American. But you understand the point I'm making, right?
Yes, sir.
Then guess what I had to do because I put it off so long? You see, it doesn't get to a point where it's just give up. You can't do it. Just give up. There's no hope. It's not to that point. It's just now if you really want to get things repaired. Now if you really want to get them where they ought to be, you're really going to have to dig in and get to work, man. And it's a lot harder to do it that way. We turned our garage into a dumpster. Was it 3 months or 6 months? I think it was more like 6 months. I mean, either that or pay for a dumpster sitting out there. You know what I mean? I said, no, we got a garage. That's what that's for. So we just close the garage door, close the service door, pull any curtains in the garage so the neighbors can't see. And here go the cabinets. They're in the garage. Here goes the countertops. They're in the garage. Here goes the old toilet. It's in the garage. And while we were repairing the house, I just turned my garage into a dumpster. Then I rented a dumpster when I was done, opened the garage door, loaded the dumpster, closed the garage door, said, get this off my property. Don't charge me anymore. Amen? My garage was full. Couldn't realize all the refuse that had built up over the years. You know what I'm trying to do now? I got some projects I got to get done this summer. It's been 3.5 years in our new house, and we've been planting our flowers every spring, but this year, we couldn't just go out and just plant flowers anymore. This year, it was like a lot of work. I had to redo all my flower beds. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, if I don't just make this happen, if I don't just get in here and redo the, I'm walking around the property in the spring and I'm making my notes, right, of what needs to be done. If I don't just fix this now, this is going to get beyond repair. I really want to fix this now. I'm actually excited about doing this project now. Got my flower beds done. Wonderful, praise the Lord. My deck needs to be done. I got to power wash my deck. I got to stain my deck because the sun beats on that deck in the hot summer. It's all wood. It starts to dry out. You know, I really don't want, $15,000, $20,000 to replace a deck. I'd rather power wash it and stain it and replace the boards that need to be. I'd rather repair what I got right now, quick. When I see a problem coming, I'd rather get on that problem and fix it now while I can do it. I mean, it's going to be a project, but it ain't the same project as rebuilding that whole deck. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Everything in life is that way. It is just easier to go get the tie rods fixed than the tie rods, everything else, that the chain reaction that begins to happen, and then the tires that are wearing out, and the, you understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about repairing the gates. I'm talking about maintenance in our lives. Spiritually speaking, you guys, we have got to make sure that when the devil makes his breach on our city, when the devil begins to burn down the gates, when the devil has torn down the walls, hey, we got to go look at those things and recognize there's some work that needs to be done here. There's some gates that need to be repaired, and we've got to be serious about repairing those gates as quickly as we can, because if not, it's going to be a lot more work later. Israel's now at a point where it's a lot of work for them to do what they're doing. You know the story, and I'm not going to re-preach it all, but a quick recap. They had gotten carried off into Babylonian captivity because God had warned them and warned them and warned them and warned them that if they did not repent, if they did not seek God, if they did not follow the law, if they did not do what God was telling them to do, that God was going to allow them to be carried off into captivity. They got carried off into Babylonian captivity, and there they are in a foreign land, and God tells them this. He says, listen, you need to return to Jerusalem. They knew they needed to go back there and rebuild that temple. And that happened under Ezra. God had worked miracles, as we already discussed. God had dealt with the politicians. God had allowed them and opened a door for them to go back and to rebuild the temple. But then resistance came before they could get to the walls. And probably about a decade or so has passed to the point where God has raised up Nehemiah, put him in the position that he was in as a cupbearer to the king, and worked another miracle and opened doors for Nehemiah to go back and say, listen, we're going to repair the walls now. The walls of Jerusalem have been torn down by the enemy, and we need to see them rebuilt. And I've been making the application, and will continue to make the application to the church and to modern day American church. In all honesty, you guys, the devil has definitely come in and torn down what God has built. Yeah, I don't believe that America was always a Christian nation. I'm so tired of hearing people say that. If you read the sources that you want to read, you go to the people that will write history based on their agenda, whether that's liberal or conservative, lost or saved. When men write things based on their agenda, you get bad information. America was not necessarily founded on the Lord Jesus Christ and the King James Bible. You understand that, right? Yeah. It was religious liberty. It was freedom from tyranny. Religious liberty meant any liberty. That means the spirit of Antichrist as well has liberty. Now, I'm thankful that God does move in governments. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. I'm thankful that God can move on these kings here in the Bible, in our illustration that we're preaching from. I'm glad God can do that. And when God does that, he can open up a door. I'm thankful for the freedom to preach. I love that freedom. I think it's wonderful. I don't want it to go away. I'm glad I'm allowed to get in the pulpit and preach the word of God. I have the liberty to do that. But I understand that the other guy's got the liberty to preach Islam as well. Yeah. Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, right. That's not true of America anymore. No. It wasn't even necessarily founded on that principle. It was founded on the principle of give me the right to worship the way I want to worship. You understand that? That doesn't mean God wasn't working in it. You follow me? Just like God was working in allowing these guys to go back and do this work, that does not make Babylon a Christian nation. The guy's a deist, a polytheist. He's looking at all these different gods and he's saying, if you got a God that might evoke a blessing on us, okay, go. Go get that done. So God's using him to open up a door for them. And I'll say this morning, as depressed as we might get about the state of this nation, as depressed as we might get about the news, as paranoid as we might get about losing our rights and losing our guns and losing our freedoms, which very realistically could happen, I could see it very quickly becoming wrong to preach against Gay Pride Month. Hey, you want to know how cool God is? You do want to know that, right? I mean, we are here this morning. I'm going to show you how cool God is. You know what June 1st was? My 20th anniversary. It was Wednesday night. It was the beginning of Gay Pride Month. You know what we saw as we were pulling out of the parking lot after a Wednesday night service? My kid said, look, there's a rainbow. That is cool, man. I about parked the car and jumped out and run away. Woo! Glory to God, man. What a blessing that is. You say, oh, wait a minute. The queers are going to twist that meaning. I really don't care what they think. You know what that is? That's God saying, hey, I'm still merciful. I'm still gracious. I promise I'd never again drown you out for the wickedness, the rampant sin that was going on. I'm still a gracious and a merciful God. Hey, if you didn't notice that, you don't know God. I'm not saying if you didn't see the rainbow, you don't know God. I'm saying if you don't get the picture of what that is, that to me, you know what that did for me? That flooded me with comfort. Because we're in a weird spot in our nation. We're in a weird spot in the turning away from God. And what scares me the most is the churches, the church, the Christians, and even some of the saved people. At a point right now where the walls are down, the gates are burned, the temple's even destroyed. Nobody cares to put their necks to the work. Yeah. You saw it in verse number 5. It says the nobles. That's why. Because as you go through the story, and we go through the chapter, a whole bunch of different kinds of people put their neck to the work. I mean, you got goldsmiths, you got merchants, you got the high priest and his brethren, you got Levites, you got the women, folks are in the market that are doing the selling. You got all kinds of different people from all classes of life all being willing to participate and do the work. But the nobles wouldn't. The nobles is the important people. It's the aristocracy. It's the high class. It's the, you know, the big shots. And that's what we've become is, honestly, we've become a bunch of spoiled brats. Not you. I'm just saying, look at the culture. I'm not attacking people this morning. Look at the culture. And look at how spoiled we've become. Definitely. We don't want to do it if it's not convenient for us. But man, thank God there's a remnant of people that said, you know what? We want the old-time worship. We want the old-time walls. We want the old-time gates. And we're willing to put our necks to the work and see God do something. Can I encourage you this morning? I'd like to try. It's probably an area of growth for me, you know, be a little more of an encourager, you know. The rebuking thing comes natural. Can I encourage you this morning? God ain't done. God is not done with his church. If God was done with his church, he'd just take us up there and we'd just have that marriage and we put all this foolishness and this mess behind us and we'd just get to fellowship with Jesus and go on into eternity and that'd be great. But he's not done with us yet. So that means we shouldn't get the defeatist mentality, even though the temple's torn down, the walls are burned, the gates are burned. Let's do this morning. We're going to start in the northeast corner of Jerusalem and we're going to try to walk as far around the walls as we can get. And what they're doing, I'm just going to tell you this right now because we're going to look at the 10 gates, okay? So but I told you I might cut it off in the middle. So if we're like, well, it's 30 minutes in and we're only at gate 5, please don't worry. It's not going to be a four-hour message, okay? I don't think it's going to be. Don't look at me like that, Jesse. What I want to do is I want to start in that gate and I want to try to walk around the city. And I will guarantee you that before we get all the way around the city back to that first gate that we're going to start at, somewhere along the line in your life, one of those gates has begun to be attacked, if not burnt completely down. In between the gates, there's towers and there's a wall. And the certain people will be working in the certain sections of the wall. They're all working at the same time to rebuild, but they kind of took different spots and they're working to rebuild that wall all the way around. We don't have time. We could be in this chapter for months. When you look at it as a superficial reading, even as the preacher studying, knowing this chapter's coming, knowing the story in more detail than I can even give you, when I look at this chapter, it's kind of like, oh, this is a dry one, right? But it's actually not. And the more you delve into it, the more like, whoa, this is just an unbelievably amazing book. I'm not going to stall us out for 4 months in chapter 3, okay? We're going to just jump from gate to gate to gate. But don't forget, in between those gates, they're repairing towers. They're repairing walls. They're doing all this work. And the point of this message, I don't want it to be, here's what I don't want it to be. I don't want it to be, we need to get our addition done. Right. I don't want it to be, we need to see if God will give us more property. I don't want it to be, we need a parking lot. We need all that stuff. We need more bathrooms. I almost wet my pants a recent service because I didn't get a chance to get to the bathroom and I just was like, oh well, here we go, Jesus, get me through, amen? But this isn't about that. You see, what we need to protect and what we need to build is you.
Yes, sir.
And if you'll look at these things, I'm not trying to get people to plug in to do more for the church. You understand that, right?
Yeah.
If you will do these things, if you'll look at these things spiritually in your life and you'll build these things in your life between you and God, then Jesus Christ will build the church.
Yeah.
As you get what you need to get, you will naturally start recognizing what God wants to do with you, how God uses you. And everybody else will see it and know it, and it'll naturally grow so the work, the physical, practical work that needs to get done will naturally get done. And it'll be a natural flow. It's his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And you're just sort of in the yoke and you're just sort of like, wow, I can't believe where I'm going. I guess this is what God has for me with my life. And it's utterly practical. So what we need to focus on is the spiritual side of these things. So the first gate we're going to look at is an extremely important gate. This gate is in verse number 1. It says, and they builded the sheep gate. Now, That's a real interesting thought because the sheep gate is near the pool of Bethesda. You know John chapter 5?
Yeah.
And right near that gate was the sheep market where they would sell sheep. And in the sheep market they had a sheep pool where they would wash the sheep that they would sell so they could take a clean, perfect lamb and they could sell that lamb, take that lamb through the sheep gate into the temple to make their sacrifices. Anybody getting the picture yet? You know what that gate represents? That gate represents the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, for 30 pieces of silver, they sold him out. And the Bible tells you in Hebrews that he being made perfect became the captain, the author of our salvation. That thing is a type of the day that you were born again. It is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who went through that gate for you and I. Hey, we need to rebuild the gate of our salvation and not forget that day. What happens the longer you serve the Lord is you forget the day that you were saved. This is going to be a very simple message. I just want you to know that, okay? I'm not trying to astound anybody with anything. I really want you and I to get the help that we need this morning. And you live in a day of pastors and teachers. Teachers having itching ears. Everybody wants teachers. What we still need is preaching. And a pastor's to be apt to teach. I get all that. But people want their heads built up, but our hearts are what need to be built up. If our hearts get built up, then God can give us in our heads what we need. But you can't even get out. I don't care how smart you are. You can't get out of that Bible what you need if your heart's not built up.
That's right.
Did you forget about the day you got saved? Have you been saved? Do you know 100% for sure that if you drop dead right now, you'd go to heaven? Do you know that based on what that book says? I didn't say, do you know every verse? I didn't say that. I didn't say, can you show me every verse? I didn't even say, can you take the Bible and lead somebody else to Jesus Christ? I said, do you know based on the Bible that if you died today, you would go to heaven because you know what Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, did for you? Hey, the Bible says he was made perfect. That does not mean that he was ever sinful. It means God had prepared him and planned him and built him. And through his life, he had fulfilled the things God wanted him to fulfill to make him the accurate sacrifice. He had resisted the temptation, not sin, developed and grown and proven himself before God so he could go to the cross for you and he could pay your sin debt. And salvation is through Jesus Christ.
Sir.
Do you know I remember the day I got saved? I wish I could tell you the exact date. I really can't. I hope that helps some of you because people start doubting their salvation if they don't remember the exact date. But I do remember when I got saved. And you need to know, you need to know. And you need to not forget what it felt like when you first got saved. But here's another thing about this gate. They're taking those sheep and they're bringing it through that gate into the temple, a place of worship for a sacrifice. You know what you and I are? We're his sheep. We're his people and the sheep of his pastor. Jesus Christ said, my sheep know my voice. You know the gate that needs to be rebuilt in our life? Is a gate of recognizing I know what I am. I am nothing more than a simple, I'm not insulting you, I'll say it about me, dumb, dirty, little sheep. And what I need is I need a leader. What I need is a Savior, and I got a Savior. I'm thankful for that, and now he's my shepherd. He's not just my sacrifice. He didn't just take away my sins. The Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. And I'm going to rebuild the sheep gate in my life. I'm going to recognize who I'm following. I'm not following this world. I'm not following this world's system. I'm not worried about the news. I'm not wrapped up in all the things the world's wrapped up into. I am his sheep. And what I want to do this morning is walk through his gates into his temple. And I want to lay myself down on that altar. Hey, a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Because he died for me. We talk about the troubled times that are coming. We preached about standing in troubled times all weekend. And we probably got some troubled times coming. I wouldn't be surprised. But you want to know the big deal is not whether or not you'll go to jail for Jesus. The big deal is not whether or not you'd be eaten by lions in the amphitheater for Jesus like our forefathers were. Literally fed them to lions. That's not really the big deal. You know what the big deal is for you and I? Are you willing to live for him? Are you willing this morning to give your life to him? He died for you, right?
Yes, sir.
He saved your soul from hell, right?
Yes, sir.
The sheep gate is saying, Lord, I'm going to come into that gate and I'm going to lay myself out on the altar, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. It's reasonable for me to live for you because you died for me. Folks, if we'll live for Jesus Christ, then maybe if that moment comes, maybe if the pressure builds, maybe if it gets to that point in our nation, maybe we'll be able to have the character to see it through to the end. Hey, Peter cracked, so I don't know whether I will or not, but Peter cracked, but he got back in, man. Praise God for that. Listen, I don't know what might happen in the future, but I do know this. I can live for him today, and if I'm not willing to live for him today, I will not stand if things get worse around here. We need to rebuild the sheep gate. brings you back to your salvation. If you haven't had it, you need to get it. If you got it, you need to not forget it. You need to thank God for it. And you need to realize that because He saved you, it is reasonable for you to lay down your life for Him. Look at verse number 3, the next gate. It's the fish gate. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasenaiah build. You know what's interesting? It follows right after the sheep gate. I just illustrated kind of walking back and forth, a sheep following the shepherd, right? You know what Jesus said to His disciples? Follow me and I'll make you to become what? Oh. You know a gate that needs to be rebuilt today in our churches? It's a gate of actually giving a flip about somebody else's soul. Yeah. Folks, we've turned the church into something it is not. Seeker-friendly church is not, you cannot find that in the Bible anywhere. I challenge you to find that for me in the Bible. You find for me in the Bible anywhere where Paul teaches us that the local church is supposed to be seeker-friendly. Now, I'm going to say something that might seem a little bit over the top, okay? This here this morning is not about soul winning. We're not here this morning because we need to be preaching the gospel. You should be preaching the gospel. Now, I know it sounds over the top. I'll qualify it in a minute, but I want you to grab a hold of what I'm saying, so I'm giving you the harder message right up front. Preacher, you know, you shouldn't be preaching on all that kind of stuff. You just need to preach the gospel. I know deacon boards that told their preachers that. I had a deacon board like that once. You should just be preaching the gospel. Oh, I'm sorry, man. I step on your toes. What do you think church is for? If it's all about getting lost people in here, then we do what we got to do to get them in here. I mean, it's the doctrine of Balaam. We just intermingle and we just give them whatever they want. We appeal to the flesh. We get them in here. That's not what this is for. Church is not for soul winning. Now, I said that and I mean that and I stand by that. However, we love having lost visitors. Amen. And I will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ from this pulpit. And I will make sure if you go out there fishing and you get some fish in the boat, I will do everything in my power to do my part to make sure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Clearly, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And I love seeing them saved. And I love seeing them come to church lost. And they're welcome here. Seekers are welcome to come here. But we're not going to be seeker sensitive. We don't really want to offend you, so kind of how do you want it? Let's see if we can sort of like get around it to make... You know what the that's a major problem. You know why churches have had to do that? Because God's people stopped following Jesus throughout the week. If you're His sheep and you're following your shepherd every day, then as you're following your shepherd throughout your week, you know what gate He's going to rebuild? He's going to rebuild that fisherman's gate. He will make you to become fishers of men. It will happen naturally. Now, I ain't a fisherman. There you are. I told you you were going to come up today. I ain't a fisherman. But I talked to one this week over lunch. And if what I say is inaccurate, it's his fault. He gave me bad information, all right? I told him, I said, it's perfect for both of us. I says, it's perfect for me because if it's bad information, I can blame it on you. And it's perfect for you because if it's bad information, you could say I wasn't listening to you when you were talking, amen? He's talking about salmon fishing. And he was saying how hard, how much technique is involved. I'll just leave it super general, okay? Because some of you guys that are fishermen are like, ton of technique involved. He said you can fight, what, 15 minutes, if it's really fast, 30 minutes, up to 4 hours, would you say, like the maximum you could fight one salmon to get him in? And he was talking about the techniques with the rod, the way you have to move, because it'll move that when they're fighting to get away from you, it'll move it in their mouth to pull, because they fight, try to wrap around rocks and all kinds of stuff. I thought, man, that'll preach. Yeah. You mean it takes patience to be a fisherman? He was talking about boat fishing for salmon. And he said, if you're boat fishing for salmon, you got to have a good guy driving the boat that understands the fish and how to work, and a good guy on the reel, because they work together as he's kind of backing the boat up and learning which direction to take the boat while you're learning. I mean, you have to, sometimes you got to work together. Like one guy's better at one thing than the other, But you're working together to get a fish in the boat. You see how that works, right? You see how as a church, if we stop and go, how's the fish gate here? When's the last time we saw somebody saved? We stop making excuses for, well, I'm not a good fisherman. Well, I don't really know how to handle the rod. Well, I don't know how to run the boat. And you just say, you know what? I can handle the rod, but I can't really get him in the boat. But if I get him to the church, I think preacher might be able to get him in the boat. We could kind of work together to see souls won for Christ. We could kind of follow Jesus Christ and care about some people that need the Lord. Hey, listen, it's all going to hell in a handbasket. Politics and news and people shooting people and all the rest of this. Hey, what about the fact that they need Jesus Christ? Getting guns out is not going to fix the problem, not preaching politics. Getting guns out won't fix the problem. Getting Jesus in, getting the Bible in, it'll change them. It'll help them. We ought to reach everybody we can reach. Amen. To rebuild the fish gate. When's the last time you passed a gospel tract to somebody? I'm not good at talking to people. I'm scared. I respect that. You know why I respect that? Because I am too. Now, preacher's so bold. Yeah, I have my moments. You know what I say you should start with this week? You should start with grabbing some tracks. And when nobody's looking at the bag in the bathroom at the gas station or whatever, you throw it on the countertop and walk out. You did something, man. I don't care. I'm such a coward. Okay, good. Let the devil beat you up. The devil's gonna beat you up when you just leave a gospel tract on the countertop somewhere. You coward. Hey, shut up, man. I did something. You didn't say a word to me yesterday when I did nothing. You didn't say a word to me the last week when I didn't do anything. You didn't say a word to me the last month, the last year, the last 2 years when I haven't done anything to try to reach anybody. But the first time you try to do something, the devil's going to try to tell you it wasn't good enough. Hey, do something to start rebuilding that gate. But we ought to be seeing people saved. God's not done saving souls, and the gospel of Jesus Christ has not lost its power. And if we'll go out there and fish for men, we'll see him saved. Not by the hundreds, not by the thousands, but I will guarantee you this much. I am not trying to put more work on my plate with what I'm going to say. I promise you. I don't have a motive here trying to get a bigger church. I am so happy right now. I am as happy as a pig in dung, Bible word. I am. I'm happy, man. I got enough on my plate. I mean, I love it. I love what I'm doing. I love being busy. If I get busier, God will give me the strength to do it and be happy doing it if God's in it. You understand that? So, but I'm happy. I'm not trying to get a bigger church. But I am trying to tell you that, folks, I know for a fact we can work together to reach more people. And if we build that fish gate, if we recognize we need to be a little more serious about reaching people for Jesus Christ and loving them where they're at and trying to get through to them about their need for Jesus Christ, learn a little bit of technique in trying to work with people. If we do that, we can see this thing grow. We can see souls saved. I'll guarantee you, we'll see people get saved. God ain't done with it. There's technique in fishing. There's different baits that work for different fish. Am I right on that?
Yes, sir.
And based on the fish you're fishing for, you fish at different levels. Am I right on that? You know, sometimes with a lost guy, not with saved people, with a lost guy, I got to talk conspiracy theories for a minute or two.
We got to go deep.
Why? Because that's what he's into.
Right.
You know, sometimes I got to talk politics for a minute or two real carefully so I can take him to the cross. I'll talk just enough politics to say, yeah, it's a mess, ain't it? Yeah, I know, man, all those Democrats, all those Republicans, yeah, I know. But, you know, really, you got to admit nowadays the Republicans ain't that much better. Oh, you're right, they're not. You know what we really need? You understand what I'm saying? You know, the Bible says, he that when his souls is... Oh, you mean fishing with dynamite doesn't work? No, it kills them. You want to get them in that boat alive so they'll stay fresh. Now, that is my style of fishing, to be honest with you. I don't have the patience for all the rest of that stuff. It's illegal and I've never done it, but what real man doesn't like a huge boom, right? I was telling you, man. And then in water, you know what I mean? That even makes it cooler. And then you just roll around, pick up the fish, and you go home, you know? Great meal. Stock the fridge. It doesn't work. You got to figure out what kind of bait to use. You got to figure out what level to cast that bait at and to run that bait through. How deep do I got to go with this individual? You know what I've had to figure out? Some people, I just stop trying because the fish aren't biting. Rather than keep trying to make the fish bite, I'd rather just build some kind of a relationship so that when they get hungry, they know where they can come to get a bite. I think we burn down that gate because we become so polarized with the rest of the nation, so opinionated in our strong stands on everything, that now all of a sudden we're that raging conservative, that crazy Christian. Rather than that guy, there's something totally different about him, and he's not like the rest of us, and he doesn't go with our jokes, and he doesn't go with our lifestyle, and I've never seen him support all that stuff, but there's something different about him. When I need help, I know where I can go. I need to rebuild the fish gate. There's another gate we need to rebuild, and I'm going to try to keep moving here as quick as I can. Look at verse number 6. Need to rebuild the old gate. It says, moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besajadak. Now notice this. They laid the beam thereof. This gate had a deep foundation, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. There's a foundation, there's doors for a filter, and locks to keep things in and to keep things out, and bars for protection. You know what we need to rebuild? We need to rebuild the old gate. It's Jeremiah 6:16. Stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths, where are the good ways, and walk therein, ye shall find rest unto your soul. I got to mention this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because you already know, but it always resurfaces in this day and age. This hogwash of having to fit the modern culture, the Bible not being relevant, is hogwash. You understand that? It's not happening as long as God allows me to stay in my right mind and stay the pastor here. It ain't happening. You know what we need? We need the old gates. I'm tired of this generation that kicks out everything old. Did you hear me? You know, if you had your cell phone for more than 6 months, it's old. It's not the latest and greatest. It's not the most updated. Now, I'm not trying to turn us all into Mennonites riding horses and buggies and wagons and all that weirdo stuff. I got more technology than I know how to use. She got me a smartwatch a while back, and I was a year ago or whatever. I still don't know how to work the thing. I'm not against it. I'm not saying technology is terrible. I do the vast majority of my work, besides pen and paper, I do the vast majority of my work on a laptop, and I got a touchscreen laptop. It's quicker when you can push here, you know what I mean? That's great. I'm not saying that modern-day technologies are the devil. What I'm saying is when we get to the place that's supposed to be for God, where the temple is, where God's people dwell, where the walls are to be built and the gates are to be up, let's rebuild the old gate. I don't want anything to do with this modern church stuff, this modern churchianity. I want something real. I want something that has stood this test of time. I want something that God has used because He said that He manifests His word through preaching. It is the preaching of the cross that is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. It is preaching that God still uses and God still expects in His house and among His people. And we need to rebuild the old gate. I'm tired of this attitude that old people aren't any good. Has anybody noticed how quiet the older people have gotten? Am I just on crack or what? Am I like seeing things or? The older people have all gotten really quiet. You know what the older people say? Well, we just don't connect to this generation anymore. We don't understand this generation. You know what's happened? And I'm not older, so I'm not putting it on the old people. I'm going to preach at the younger generation, okay? You know what's happened? We've gotten this attitude that we know everything. Yeah. We can just Google it. Who needs to ask mom and dad? What do mom and dad actually know? You see, kids nowadays, kids correcting their parents. Yeah. You see, mom and dad say something, and the kid, I don't know, really. So it's always been that way. Probably to some extent, it is worse today than ever before. I will argue that and stand by it. Why? They think they know so cotton picking, stinking much. You living on a virtual world, Googling something, doesn't give you life experience. I'm not going to go home and Google how to stay married for 44 years. 44? Excuse me. She's like, I earned every one of those. You're giving me every one at 7. Amen. I don't have to go home and Google how to stay married for 47 years. If I got somebody in my church I could talk to, like, how'd you guys do it?
Right.
Well, I've asked them and they don't really say anything. You ain't got the perception to pick up on what they're saying. Sometimes when they're just like, how we just kind of stuck it out? It's like if you pray when you ask them the question, and if you listen to what's being said, you might get some help. We need to rebuild the old gate. It's not just the old-fashioned preaching and the old-fashioned King James Bible. It's the old-fashioned attitude and the mindset and the character and the discipline. Hey, we need some of that old stuff back.
Amen.
How about just old-time character? How about just an old-time work ethic?
Yes, sir.
How about just old-time reliability?
Yes, sir.
I mean, just like you said you're going to be there, so you're going to be there. We know it's Sunday morning. We know where you're going to be. If you're not there, I got to call and make sure everything's okay because I know you're not going to get offended because that's where you are. Something happened because you weren't there.
Right.
I'm talking about reliability. I'm talking about, hey, I'm committed to this thing. This is what I'm doing. I said I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it done. I want some old-fashioned character. I want some things about Mike Reagan just to be so old-fashioned. People say he should have been born 100 years ago. You're right. I'm not going with the culture. I'm not going with the deterioration of everything around me. How about an old-fashioned family? What's wrong with an old-fashioned family structure back when families worked?
Right.
What's wrong with some old-fashioned dads who are the head of their home?
Sure.
That doesn't mean the Neanderthal, I'm the man, do what I say.
Right.
When I say I'm the man around my house, it's like, oh gosh, we know, okay? Like zero competition, you know? How about being a real leader by setting an example? By putting more expectations on yourself than you're pressuring on everybody else. By being a rock and a compass that they can look to and they can follow. By them knowing, hey, listen, what that man claims to believe, what everybody thinks he is, what he says he stands for, he is.
Amen.
He ain't perfect. Amen.
Amen.
Just threw you guys a bone. You can, you know, you're welcome. It's free.
Sure.
But he's real. We need to rebuild the old gate, folks. We need those old paths back. We need to instill some of that old-fashioned family time. Like every once in a while you can say, everybody put your cell phone down. Let's sit around and talk. Let's have an old-fashioned family dinner. I'm not getting in your home. I don't care what you do. I'm throwing some suggestions out to you. How about an old-fashioned family dinner? It might help your marriage. It might help your child rearing. You might begin to see some gates that got burned down in your kids' lives when you weren't looking because you ain't looked in months. Talking about rebuilding the old gate. Next one, look at the valley gate. That's in verse number 13. The valley gate repaired Hannah and the inhabitants of Zenoah. They built it and set up the doors, the locks, and the bars. This one also shows you this one needs to be fortified. Here's what I'm going to tell you about this one, and I'm not going to spend a long time on it. The prosperity gospel and the prosperity mentality of the United States of America has been a subtle tool of the devil to undermine the strength of Christians. God told them when they were carried off into captivity, he said, pray for the peace of that city, for in their peace you're going to have peace. You know what he did not say? What your English Standard Version says. Your English Standard Version, I believe, is the one that says, pray for the prosperity of that city. That is so demonic. You know why a lot of them wouldn't leave Babylon and go back and build with the remnant? Because it was so much prosperity over there. They had it so good. The same reason so many pulpits in America are preaching more politics now than they are Jesus. because they're so paranoid about their prosperity, they're paranoid about their cotton-picking money, that they could care less if their entire church just goes to the devil. Right. And half of their members are on their way to hell. Doesn't matter to the preacher. That ain't no pastor.
Amen.
Pastor cares about your soul, cares about your walk with Jesus Christ, cares about your life enough to get up there and give you the truth from the Word of God. Prosperity and the expectation of prosperity has undermined and destroyed an entire nation, spiritually speaking. You know what we need to rebuild? Valley Gate. You need to understand that when you serve Jesus Christ, it's not always going to be easy. And that life is full of valleys. And when you get in that depressed state, when you get in that lowly state, when you get in that sad state, when you get in a valley, lock it up, stay there, say, I'm going to set the bars, I'm going to set the doors, this is part of that city. This is part of life. And I ain't quitting on God just because I'm going through a hard time. I ain't quitting on God just because I'm still struggling with sin. I wanted victory over 20 years ago and I still can't get the victory. I ain't quitting on God just because things get rough. You don't make it 44 years without some valleys in marriage. No jokes. No jokes are coming. You don't do it. Right. You know how I can say that with such confidence? You don't make it 20 years without some valleys. Sure. I love that woman more than anything else on the planet. I said on the planet, Jesus is in heaven, amen. She means all the world to me. But after 20 years, our relationship is nothing like it was when we first met. When you first get saved, all the newness and the excitement, when you first get in a Bible-believing church and it's what you're looking for, and you're like, oh man, I needed this, right? The excitement that comes, it's a good thing. You don't need to lose that. You got to go back to that. We have to go back to the early days. I got home late to me, 7:30 or 8 or something like that last night. We sat on the couch and we went through a bunch of the videos, all the families gathered on videos of the kids and videos of back when we were young. And I mean, is that even me? And it's really awesome every once in a while to go back to that beginning and just to remember, like the sheep gate. But you know, if you do it for a long time and you go through those, you hit those valley points, it can get pretty dark. Yeah. And you make it through that valley, you lock that thing up, you set the gates, you set the bars, you set the door, you say, you know what, just because it's like this, that doesn't mean I'm quitting. I'm going to see it through. And with God's help, and you building those walls and building those gates and keeping that temple worship what it needs to be, keeping close to the Lord, with God's help, 20 years down the road, what you have will be so much stronger, so much better than what you ever thought you could have at the beginning. The Valley Gate needs to be rebuilt. We need to recognize that all of serving Jesus is not always exciting. But just because it ain't exciting don't mean I'm not rebuilding that gate. I recognize that hard times come and I'm going to have some perseverance. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to drop out. I'm going to have some stick-to-it about me. I don't feel like going. Yeah, I dumped coffee on myself on the way to church and had to run home and get changed and I made it back and I come walking in at the last minute, but I'm here. I don't let these little things derail me. Nowadays, that's all it takes. I mean, 70-year-old man saying that to me walking in the door this morning. And you know what? At his age, like, I don't need this right now. Got 100 other problems. I got, you know, life. You know, you understand. Nowadays, that's all it takes to keep some people, well, we spilled coffee on ourselves on the way to church.
Right.
Okay, so it's better to be late than not at all. I've never got on you about walking into church late. I don't think I've ever got on anybody in this place about coming in. Everybody apologizes to me for it, and I think it's sweet. It's not, it's respectful. But I never gave you the attitude that, oh, you came in late. I say every time, I'm glad you were here anyhow. It doesn't matter to me. Glad you're here. It's amazing what it takes to derail some people. It's amazing what it takes to keep people out of church. Let me move on to the next one. I got to get done. looked at Dung Gate. It's in verses 13 and 14. After the Valley Gate, the end of the verse 13 is the Dung Gate. Then at verse 14, the Dung Gate again. The Dung Gate was a gate where they would carry out the dung. It's a pretty easy point. This one ain't rocket science. Paul says that we're to cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know what has happened to an entire generation of Christians? We have stopped caring about all the filth that builds up in our heart. I ain't even going to talk to you about your life. I'm not even going to harp on you about your viewing habits and your listening habits and this, that, and the other thing. It's the heart that's the problem. If we get on our face before God and say, Lord, I need to rebuild that gate of confession. I need to be more sensitive by the Spirit of God to things that displease you in my life. I need to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God and things that I do that get in my way of helping other people, get in my way of being a good dad, get in my way of being a good husband, get in my way of being a good pastor, get in my way of being a good preacher, get in my way of being a good brother, get in my way of being a good witness, get in my way of being that living sacrifice you want me to be. I need to cleanse this stuff. I need to get this stuff out. Sometimes it's not even sin per se. Sometimes it's just your hurts. It's just life. It's just what somebody did to you in the past. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to have an active gate called the dung gate, where you get rid of those things that are just polluting your body. Pretty plain, huh? That's the old gate. Sorry. But the old gate's a plain gate. Modern day preachers will fluff everything up for you and make it all super sweet and super professional, so you feel good. But old school preachers talk plain. I could care less with trying to impress you how smart I think I am, or you think I am, or fooling you into thinking I am, because I fooled myself into thinking I am. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I could care less. You know what we need to get out? We need to get out the filthiness.
Sure.
We can't expect our kids to do right if we're not. Rebuild the dung gate in your life. Next one, the gate of the fountain in verse 15. Right after the dung gates, the gate of the fountain. This one's got doors, locks, and bars. It's near the pool of Siloam, which is by the king's garden. The Siloam tunnel emerged from underground and was fed by the Gihon spring. This is like the crown jewel of Israel right here. This spring was just beautiful, fresh water. We need to rebuild the gate of the fountain. You know what Jesus Christ said? I'm the living water. This one doesn't represent salvation the same way the sheep gate does. You know what it represents? Your fellowship. He said, out of his belly in John 7 shall flow rivers of living water. You know what I see all over Christianity nowadays? Dry Christians. I mean just dry. Like you're not excited about serving God anymore. You're not excited about reading your Bible anymore. You're not excited about your prayer life anymore. You ain't had a prayer answered in years because you ain't been praying. It's like it's supposed to be fresh. You know, in a marriage, you gotta realize sometimes things get sort of stagnant. You guys are a bunch of chickens, man. None of you will go, hell, hell. You're like, yeah, I saw the one thing you reacted to this morning, huh? Mm-hmm. You know what you got to do? You got to keep it fresh.
Yes, sir.
It's work. You know what God's given us? He's given us a fountain of living water. And you know what we don't do? We don't rebuild that gate. You know what they say? I just don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I just don't know what's going on. I know what's going on. You got to want it. I've never wanted a fresh drink from Jesus Christ and not gotten one. Never. Never have I gone to him and said, God, I need help. And had him not help me. I don't think enough of us really want it. And if you don't really want it, that gate needs to be rebuilt. If you want it and you ain't tasted it in a long time, I will tell you the problem is not the fountain. It never runs dry. It never runs dry. I just finished reading my Bible through again, and I started it, I think 2 days ago, I started it back up again. And I asked the Lord before I started it last time if He'd give me some stuff I'd never seen before. If He'd make some things start clicking for me that hadn't clicked before, and I didn't even know what I was asking for, because I didn't know what those things were, because I hadn't seen them. Understand what I'm saying? Trying to joke so I won't cry. You know what God did for me this time when I read my Bible? It was amazing. How I read my Bible this many times, this many years. I mean years. I've been reading my Bible close to 40 years. And I just never put that together and that together and that together and that together and you guys, this fountain, it never runs dry. We need to rebuild the gate of the fountain. Let me keep going just a couple more. We'll be done. The water gate in verse 26. I find it interesting. It comes after the gate of the fountain. The water gate led to the city's main source of water, which was the same spring that we just mentioned. And the interesting thing I found about the water gate is we'll see it in a few weeks here, but in Ezra chapter number 8, Ezra stands on a pulpit of wood in front of this gate. And Ezra the scribe opens up to them the law of God. Got a pulpit of wood. I like it. I built it myself. Don't tell my wife I can do it, but that's an inside joke. Never mind. Don't look too close either. You'll see what a mess it is. He stands on a pulpit of wood and he opens up the law of God to the people of God. And he says that he read the law of God distinctly. And made them to understand the reading. You know what that water gate represents? The water of the Word of God. As it relates to what you're doing right now. You know what the devil will try to do to you? And he's doing it all over the place. The devil will try to get you out of church. I promise. Yeah. I've watched it too long. I'm really, really impressed with the longevity we have here. We have a lot of people with a lot of longevity, and I'm grateful for that. Don't ever think your longevity means you're safe from this gate getting burned down. Right. And some of you that have caught on well and growing and doing great, I am telling you what the devil will try to do 100 different ways. He will try to get you out, away from the water gate. Rhetorical question that is, doesn't need to be answered out verbally. What are we here for? It's a good question. I hope you ask yourself, or you already know the answer, to why do I go to church? Can I give you the right answer? It is to learn the book, to draw closer to Jesus Christ, to get some preaching. There's 100 other wonderful benefits that come, and I promise you as your pastor, I am trying, I'm working, I'm praying, I'm paying attention to where we're at, what we need, what we're going to need. I'm already praying about things that I know I would like to do just so church is a great experience for everybody. I love the youth group stuff. I love the Sunday school classes. I love the all that kind of stuff. I'm working on growing as God grows us and developing as God develops us. And there's a long future here if the Lord tarries. I believe that. But none of that other stuff matters. This church is not a church for men. Right. That mentality, I'm over it. I'm over it. This church is not a church for families, a family-oriented church. Forget that garbage. This church is a church for men. This church is a church for families. This church is a church for women. This church is a church for kids. This church is a church for single people. This church is a church for single people that were never married. This church is a church for single people that are divorced. This church is a church for people that were divorced and remarried. This church is a church for people that want the Bible preaching and want the Lord Jesus Christ and want to get to the water gate and just get a little help so they can make it to the end of their life or to the coming of Jesus Christ, clean and growing and trying to serve God.
Amen.
You need to rebuild the water gate in your life. A couple more, verse 28. Just mention them. You got the horse gate. Horse gate symbolizes war. And I'll just mention it and keep and wrap up here. It's a battle. You got to realize serving God is a battle. You understand? It's going to get on. It's going to get tough. Rebuild the horse gate. Because there are times when you just got to say, look, I can't sit around at the pool right now. I can't sit around getting a drink right now. Right now it's time to fight, and I'm going to dig in and I'm going to fight. Why? Because serving the Lord's a war. The world, the flesh, the devil, that gate needs to be rebuilt, and we need some Christians that are willing to fight for Jesus Christ and fight to do right and fight for their marriage and fight for their children and fight for their walk with Jesus Christ and fight against the sin that gets a hold of them and keep fighting. Rebuild the horse gate. Then there's the east gate. That's directly east of the temple. They'd come in the east gate to go into the temple to worship. And that's a gate needs to be rebuilt. Listen, you need to nail it down in your mind and heart that you're going to be in church. You live in a day and age where church is optional. I was thinking about this morning. Kids were in soccer, right? 4 to 5 days a week, it requires, not including drive times, a minimum of 2 hours of their time. A lot of parents, 4 to 5 days a week, if they don't have enough vehicles or they don't have a kid that's at driving age, 4 to 5 days a week have no problem getting to soccer practice and soccer games.
Right.
With gas prices what they are, you go to Grand Rapids, you go to Lansing, you go to Traverse City, you go up into the Thumb, you go down to Saline, Ann Arbor, all over the place, and practices 4 to 5 days a week. And you're going to stink and tell me you can't come to church on Sunday and it's asking way too much to come on Wednesday? Give me a cotton picking break, man.
Yeah, amen.
I ain't buying it. Rebuild the East Gate. I'm not saying don't go to soccer. I'm not saying don't enjoy your life. I'm saying what could be more important than worshiping the Lord? What could be more important than gathering together with God's people and getting a little bit of help that we need to walk with Jesus Christ?
Amen.
The last one's super interesting and the shortest one, the Gate Mifkat. Let me give you what I got on it. I'm done. Wasn't that good? It's the only time the word shows up in the Bible, and even the brightest scholars can't seem to figure out what's up with it. Here's what I got from it. By the Holy Spirit with his help. In that verse he mentions the goldsmiths. We know the gate was there. We don't know exactly where. We don't know exactly when. We don't know exactly what. Anybody know what I'm driving at yet? Because we're all the way back to the beginning gate, the sheep gate. The one that died is the one that's coming back. We don't know exactly when. We do know there's gold, silver, and precious stones when he does. We don't know exactly what we're getting. But if we'll walk around and check out those gates in our lives and say, God, that got burned down. God, that got burned down. God, I need to rebuild that one. God, help me rebuild that one. Oh, God, look at that one. If we'll do that individually, then we'll be ready for him if he comes today. Actually, you can be ready for him. If he blows that trumpet in 10 minutes, you can be ready. Are you ready for him? Are you ready to see him? Right now. Right now. He expects you to be ready right now. You can be ready right now. And if you're not, I advise you to take a look at those gates and let's get them rebuilt. Hey, let's do it together. Let's all do it. And if we'll all do it, I think we'll be pretty shocked at what we'll see our Savior do for us. Stand our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed, please.